It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and TalentStream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
All right. Good afternoon. Welcome to Supply Chain Now Radio. We are very pleased to be not broadcasting in Atlanta, Georgia, where we normally are. We're down on the road in beautiful Orlando, Florida. And this is Scott Luton here. And my co-host today is Chris Barnes, executive president. I think I just gave you a promotion.
I like that one.
Executive director and president of the Apex Atlanta chapter. Good afternoon, Chris.
Good afternoon, Scott.
Got a big show lined up today.
Yes, exciting topics, exciting speaker.
Absolutely. And in just a moment, we're going to be interviewing Mr. Abe Eshkenazi, CEO of the Association for Supply Chain Management. So,
it's easy for you to say.
Easy for me to say. Big guest today, huh?
Very nice.
And this continues, Chris, as you know, our Profiles in Supply Chain Leadership, which has been a really well-received series as part of Supply Chain Now Radio, right?
Yeah, I mean, for the frequent listeners, they'll understand we have general content topics of, you know, practitioners coming in, thought leaders, and we also try to highlight specific segments around visionaries, people driving change, and this in speaking with Abe today is going to be one of our big accomplishments, getting him on the show.
Absolutely, and speaking of visionary, we definitely want to welcome Abe to the program. Good afternoon, Abe.
Good afternoon, Scott.
Glad to have you here. I think Chris's intro there, kind of talking about what we've been doing on our Profiles in Supply Chain Leadership series, really hits the mark. As a 14-year Apex volunteer, and Chris, you've got what, 4 or 5 decades? Or it's a long time. Both of us is long time.
No comment.
Apex.
No comment. Thank you, Scott.
Both as longtime Apex volunteers, we're really excited. We appreciate your leadership and your vision. Apex today, or ASCM, is certainly much different, a world apart than where it was when we first joined, and we're excited about the future. So glad to have you here today and to pick your brain a little bit.
I appreciate it. I'm glad we could have this opportunity.
Definitely.
Yeah, Abe, so let's jump into it, kind of get your perspective. I think that's what people want to hear your thoughts as opposed to ours. So you've been with Apex and now ASCM, and I'll let you talk about that in a moment, for the past decade, since 2006. So you've obviously seen a lot of change and evolution of the supply chain. What's going on in the profession?
I think everybody who's been involved in it has seen significant change, not only in their job function, but in the way that supply chain is perceived within organizations. It wasn't too long ago that the supply chain professional traditionally sat in the back room and was leaned on when there was a crisis or when expectations weren't met. And for a long time, that subject matter expertise, that functional capability enabled that supply chain professional to really position the organization to deliver on the promise to their clients and to their customers. As we've seen over time, that functional or that subject matter expertise has been the price of admission now. So the expectation now is that the individuals in supply chain have that functional capability and that subject matter expertise. But now the expectation is that they can not only address significant disruptions, but prevent disruptions as well. So we've moved from a lot of the reactive perspectives of supply chain professionals into a much more proactive perspective, and that's for the individual. For the function of supply chain, we've seen that dramatically change away from a cost and lean focus into a much more strategic imperative for organizations, where supply chain now drives a significant part of the priorities for the organization. And so therefore, the supply chain professional has had to change with that expectation as well. So sitting at the C-suite, sitting in the strategy discussions about where the organization is going, how to increase their effectiveness and their competitiveness in the organization led by supply chain. So expectations for the supply chain professional has changed significantly as the industry has changed, whether through technology or whether through process redesign or just the recognition of how supply chain can really enable a company.
You know, we like to say here repeatedly on the show and back in Atlanta that supply chain has a seat at the table unlike ever before in its history. And it's a very exciting time to be in supply chain. And so to see the organization we've been a part of and volunteering in for so long, to see it embrace transformation much like the industry has, very rewarding to be part of that.
Yeah, and I frequently, it's interesting you talk about Abe supply chain professionals. I remember 4 decades ago when I was in college, there was no such thing as a supply chain profession or supply chain degree. And now many of the major universities and even some of the mid-market universities have supply chain degrees, if not certifications, if not degrees.
When you look at the transformation on the academic side, absolutely, Chris, I think what we're seeing is not only a proliferation of supply chain degrees, but high specialization of functions within supply chain now. To your point, 25, 30 years ago, we probably had a half a dozen to a dozen schools in the world teach supply chain. We've got over 500 right now in either baccalaureate or master's degrees.
Wow.
So you combine that with the certifications that APEX offers, and you'll see that the preparation and the development of the supply chain professional has really transcended what was a traditionally back office or a function that really wasn't recognized for the value that it drove within the organization.
Yeah, and organization is a key word I keep hearing you refer to. So it's interesting, again, back in a long time ago when I got involved with APEX, it was almost more of an individual association. And now I think I see it moving more towards an organizational association in terms of corporate leaders getting involved in supply chains and kind of looking at how is the overall organization being certified, not certified, but educated in supply chain management. Is that correct?
No, that's really a good point, Chris, because I think if we, you know, going back to sort of the foundation of supply chain or ops management or whatever the popular term was at the time, it used to be a very siloed activity. So you had a number of discrete functions within the supply chain, whether it be planning, sourcing, making, delivering, distribution, warehousing, a variety of different functions that the thought was that if you could focus on each one and be efficient and effective on all of them, that you would all reach the point of arrival at the same time. And I think successful organizations, specifically successful supply chains within organizations, see the integration of those activities as the win, not the disparate functions within supply chain. So therefore, the organization, or as you're putting out, the integration of those supply chain functions has really enabled organizations to compete successfully in their particular markets.
Yeah, and anyone listening, if that kind of went over your head, I encourage you to sign up for your local CSCP class and learn all about silos and integrated supply chains. So thank you for that.
Speaking of what the point you're both illustrating, tomorrow we're going to be conducting a 2 p.m. podcast, and we're going to be interviewing an organizational leader with a leading worldwide manufacturer of tractor machinery, agricultural equipment. And they're doing just that. They're leveraging the common knowledge that the APEX and the ASCM now body of knowledge presents as a means to really optimize supply chain performance.
And Abe, back to the organizational thing. I know you're traveling around. You're an evangelist for supply chain. Are you meeting with executives? Do you see more of a movement towards maybe a chief supply chain officer?
Really great question. I think one of the things that, you know, as we mentioned before, we're seeing a higher expectation for the supply chain professional, not just the subject matter expertise or the functional competency. Organizations are now looking for cross-functional capabilities, advanced management skills, the ability to work across cultures and across time zones. That really does push the supply chain professional and supply chain into a much greater focus and visibility and transparency across the organization. So you need somebody that has the, you know, not only the understanding, but the depth and breadth of knowledge to manage the supply chain functions. I believe that every organization needs a focus on a supply chain, either officer or particular responsibility. Now, whether that's under the COO or the CFO, I think it's imperative that we call out these functions specifically within an organization, apart from the finance, apart from the business aspect of the organization. Supply chain does rise to that level. Now, are we seeing individuals move into the CSCO or a global supply chain officer role? I think as more organizations start to recognize the importance and criticality of these functions, you'll start to see individuals move into those specific roles. Obviously, our focus is to identify how individuals get into supply chain, what are the career paths that are available to them, and more importantly, how do you transcend to become a leader for an organization, whether chief supply chain officer or a global supply chain officer.
So Abe, on that track, let's maybe look at somebody in college, maybe deciding on a degree in college, coming out of college. what's some things people can do to maybe position their career to be a chief supply chain officer?
Great question, because I think that's one of the benefits and the challenges that we see in supply chain is that there are a number of entry points within the supply chain field. You can come in through procurement. You can come in through logistics. You can come in through the design and planning for supply chain and then end up in a variety of different functions. So when we talk about supply chain, we talk about a number of jobs within supply chain that can provide a vehicle for individuals to lead. But more importantly, the understanding of the cross-functional aspect of supply chain across the enterprise is critical for anybody leading these functions. So while you may have deep technical experience in a particular vertical within supply chain, that cross-functional and ability to transcend a department and across the organization really does start to differentiate the individuals leading supply chain. Mm. So what are the competencies necessary? Obviously, communication, collaboration, a deep understanding of finance, as well as the functions within technology and how they support the supply chain for the organization. Within college, I'd say the first sort of challenge that we have is creating the awareness of the jobs that are in supply chain. Unfortunately, the majority of individuals entering college right now are not aware of the wonderful career opportunities that exist within supply chain right now. So the focus for us is to get these individuals early, even in high school, even in middle school, and start to talk to them about opportunities in supply chain without even mentioning the term supply chain. Mm. Talk about the functions, talk about the high tech, talk about robotics.
Exciting.
AI, yeah. IoT. These are things that are driving organizations right now that are significantly different than we saw in supply chain 20 or 30 years ago.
You know, so on that note, you know, in Atlanta, we've been driving, thanks to the curriculum that Apex rolled out a year and some change ago, and big thanks to your team and Cheryl Sackis that helped roll that out. We took that curriculum and really applied it to our local market, and we've been going into elementary schools and talking supply chain with third, fourth, and fifth graders. Yeah. And it is amazing. I used my kids as guinea pigs. Yeah. Chris and I both did. And so we kind of tweaked it and all. And, you know, we thought really it'd take an hour, right, for these kids to really get it and embrace it and know what we're talking about. 3 minutes, you know, and then they could probably teach us.
Yeah.
So very rewarding, and I understand we're going to be ramping up those efforts in the years to come, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think part of our responsibility was to start to identify and fill the pipeline for the future. So the programs that you're talking about fall underneath our STEM program, and they are available for free for schools. We have a program for kindergartners. We have a program for middle school, as well as high schoolers. Obviously, each one is significantly different depending on the age group and sort of the focus. But it does teach the principles of supply chain without ever mentioning supply chain. So we talk about, you know, sort of resource planning. We talk about where do you source from? How do you manufacture? Where do you make? How do you deliver? Where do you put your product? How do you price it? And kids get it just innately. They right. understand it. It doesn't take a whole lot. And so our hope is that we'll start to see more individuals seek out supply chain as opposed to being pulled into it by either a family friend or a confidant or somebody that has been in supply chain. And that's usually how most people get into the field right now.
You know, one last note on that is we have learned from our professional educators in the local Metro Atlanta area, and as we've been engaging them in these efforts. They've talked about how not only do we have to plant seeds of awareness with the children, but we also have to convince their parents that it's not the same old, right? It's not your grandfather's or grandmother's supply chain.
No.
It's much broader. It's much more exciting. It's much more technological. It can get you into the C-suite. There's opportunities abound for folks that jump into the supply chain as a career, right?
I couldn't agree more. When you take a look at the opportunities in supply chain right now, Chris, you were talking before about the students. What do you tell a student? How about a 90% placement rate for individuals who graduate with a supply chain degree?
Mm.
How about starting salary second only to engineers right now in the market? Those are compelling numbers for individuals that are seeking an opportunity to make a difference in their job and have a rewarding career, and that's what supply chain offers.
Mm, and those will get the parents on board for sure, the 90% and the placement rates.
Yeah. Makes me want to go back to school. I like that. 90%, that's good. So, yeah, as a leader of the Apex Atlanta chapter, I would encourage anyone that's listening that it's if you have maybe children, it's more grade school, middle school, you know, take the tool introduce that, you know, find your local APICS chapter. If you're running an organization, you know, see if they can take it to the schools, because that's really what we're trying to get to, as Ava talked about, is trying to plant that seed in early. And for any chapter leader, this is an excellent tool from APICS that they can certainly loan out, and you can take advantage of it. It's a lot of fun. And then, so let's switch gears a little bit, Abe. We talked about some of the people, maybe the profession, but let's look at some of the technologies. What are some of the key technologies you see kind of changing and influencing the supply chain?
I think most people are very familiar with a couple of the, you know, big brands in the marketplace, you know, between Oracle and SAP. But what we're also seeing is that there's a lot of bolt-on technology that is now enhancing the supply chain for organizations. We hear about big data. We hear about artificial intelligence or Internet of Things. These are all enabling technologies. What's critical is the sort of the investment that organizations make in technologies has to be matched with the investment in the people that understand and use these technologies. I think organizations view enabling technologies as critical to their future so that they can harness big data and use predictive analytics for their processes. What's critical is to have the individuals that can critically evaluate the situation as well as develop recommendations on how to move forward. And that requires individuals who have a deep understanding of the enterprise, both inside and outside the enterprise, and that's the supply chain professional. So while we're seeing significant investment in technology, and it does impact not only the supply chain professional on a, you know, on a tactical basis, but we're seeing it much more on a strategic basis, specifically changed by the Amazons of the world. Going directly to the consumer and enabling the consumer to have much more information than they've had in the past. So transparency and visibility, while in a significant part of the supply chain today for organizations, it's becoming a significant issue for a lot of consumers as well.
Mm. You know, speaking of Amazon, you know, if you're going to compete in the Amazon age that we're in, the ability to execute on return, reverse logistics and processing returns and taking care of the customer that way has become table stakes.
Yep.
We had the good fortune in the South Atlanta area to tour a major retailer's returns processing mm-hmm. center, where they're getting 300 truckloads on average per week of returns.
Yep.
And it coming back in all types of conditions, as you can imagine. Speak to that area a little bit and what you're seeing and how we're going to help that segment of the end-to-end supply chain really optimize its performance.
That's a great question. I think we can use sustainability sort of as a an example of how returns is and will become a significant part of the supply chain, not only today, but a much more critical part in the future. Sustainability used to be a cost element for an organization. It used to be a function of the supply chain in terms of developing sustainable resources or the manufacturing process on recycling, reusing, and waste. Now organizations have found a way to monetize the sustainability aspect of their business by differentiating not only their resources, but ensuring that their manufacturing processes are sustainable. In the same way, we're seeing returns that it used to be a cost element. It used to be the cost of doing business either in defective or in, you know, broken or in some way the product or service did not meet the expectation of the consumer. Most organizations view it as a cost of doing business. Other organizations view it as a revenue opportunity. How do you remanufacture? How do you redistribute? And
sure.
predominantly not in the market that you're selling in. There are other markets that can use the return. So organizations that are on the cutting edge are finding ways to use return as a revenue generator for an organization, not just a cost of doing business.
Yep. And for that tour opportunity, someone that you may know, I want to give a shout out to Tony Scaruta with the Reverse Logistics Association. Great friend, I know, colleague and advocate for APICS and the ASCM.
And a good collaborator for APICS.
Great collaborator. Yep. And one last note on returns. It's changing behaviors, too. I think you were talking about the traditional reason for returning a product, but also as a consumer now in the Amazon age, we're buying three pairs of shoes, trying them on, keeping one, returning the other two. And not only is Amazon basically encouraging that, they've gotten so good on the reverse side of that, right?
Yep.
And it's just an amazing era that we live in.
And I think that's what you're describing is – what we had alluded to in, just a little bit before about consumers' expectations right now, and that it has elevated because of supply chain. So we are able to deliver to consumers multiple products in multiple varieties and allowing them to choose. Obviously, the touch and feel and the tactile aspect of it is critical for a lot of these individuals, especially when you're talking about either apparel or other, you know, fashion preference items.
Right.
What you often see online may not exactly be what you get in the box.
We love our digital until it comes to wear it.
Exactly, you know, right. So I think what we're seeing is a higher expectation from the consumer. So it has elevated the expectation from the manufacturers, and we're seeing manufacturers directly to the consumer. So they're taking out intermediaries so that the manufacturer can now go directly to the consumer base and support that individual, not only in terms of primary product, but in terms of returns and support as well.
Great point.
Yeah, and I'll wrap this back around again. I talked about CSCP earlier. So if you're interested in learning more about kind of what Abe just spoke about, I'd encourage you to take the CLTD class. That's really kind of the theme of that class is providing the best customer service levels at an affordable logistics cost. So I could listen to you talk all day, Abe. This is great. So let's go back to the technology piece. And I don't know, maybe from a profession standpoint, you talked about big data, and what I thought about was data analytics and data scientists.
Yes.
You know, that, you know, 2-3 months ago, that was the big career demand. Is that, do you still see that happening? Or
I think most organizations view data management and the, you know, sort of aggregation of data critical to their future. The challenge that we have is that everybody is a piece of data right now in terms of a number. The question that a lot of organizations have is that they've got disparate systems and now they need to consolidate that information to make it usable. It's not for lack of information right now. It's for lack of usable information that most organizations struggle with. So aligning the data to make use out of it is a critical aspect of it. To do that, you need professionals that understand how to aggregate and, more importantly, how to analyze and develop recommendations using that data. So data analytics will continue to be a hot topic for supply chain professionals as well as the field for data analysts as well.
So from a technology standpoint, I think it's here to stay, especially being an enabler for efficient supply chains. How do people you know, go about getting trained or certified or just staying up to date with the latest trends and shifts in technology?
I think what we're seeing is a lot of organizations driving that, you know, whether through academic organizations or internal training programs or through associations such as APIX or ISACA, who we have a partnership with as well, the Internet Security Association. There are a number of organizations that provide, you know, not only foundational content through schools, but in the academic programs, but a number of associations. So again, depending on the focus for the individual, I would encourage them to evaluate and to seek out associations, and more importantly, organizations that invest in the employee is critical, because that's where we see the greatest win for the company as well as for the individual, is when they view professional development, whether it be in data analysts or in supply chain or other functions within the organizations. Those organizations that invest in their employees are succeeding at a much higher rate.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm a big fan of Zig Ziglar, a sales trainer from back in the day. And he,
legend.
One of the things he said is when he talks about to companies about training, they always say, why would I want to train my employees and they leave? And his response was, I'd rather train them and they leave than I not train them and they stay.
Yeah, it really is a poignant statement in that a lot of organizations, if you ask them, what is their number one asset? I've met few organizations that don't identify staff as their number one asset. Well, we're into supply chain and we're into asset rationalization, right? So we understand where to invest and how to invest. What do you invest in the best and the worst of times? Your best performing asset or your least performing asset? I think we would all agree that your investment is probably well spent in your most critical asset of the organization, and that would be the staff, teams that you have. But yet, when we see a recession or when we see a pullback in the economy, among the first things that organizations cut back on is professional development. They view it as discretionary. Professional development is not discretionary. It is not a binary switch that you can turn on and off. Employees will see that, and they will gravitate to companies that are consistent with their actions and their words.
Yeah, it's almost what I'm hearing Abe saying. You double down in tough times and lean and continue to develop and not cut cord on this ongoing professional development because you're arming your best people with a means to pull you through the tough
times.
That's
exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like a lean. When my view is when companies take on lean initiatives, I think that's kind of a recipe for failure because it's a cultural thing. Mm-hmm. It's something that's lean should be part of the organization. It comes from the top, not something you do just for a year.
Exactly.
So there's a lot of change going on. You know, we talked about the universities now have supply chain certification, supply chain degrees. Technology was always changing. We spoke about that. But, you know, APIX and now ASCM has been here to support this change. So why the change to ASCM?
I think as we had talked about before, and one of the points that you were bringing out before about the changes that are occurring into supply chain, specifically the demands on the individual and more importantly, the demands on the organization now. And the role of the supply chain manager, as we had discussed a little bit before, has moved out of the back room and into the front office for the organization. When we started to evaluate how do we support the supply chain professional, how do we support the supply chain organization, and more importantly, supply chain industry, then it started to challenge us in terms of can we do it through APIX? And when we took a look at the brand value that APIX brings to the table, it is significant and it is deep. I mean, we're talking about 40 to 60 years of membership services, talking 40 years of certification that individuals have used our certification not only to get a job but to lead within their organizations. The change occurred for us somewhere about a year or two after the recession when we started to see organizations not only hiring up significant number of supply chain professionals, but now taking a look at that integrated activity that we talked about before, that supply chain was no longer a series of discrete steps or disparate steps. It was an integrated activity. And it forced us to reevaluate how do we support the individual, and more importantly, how do we support the company? And it was clear that APIX has been and will be a significant brand in the certification marketplace. Our CPIM, CSCP, CLTD, as well as SCORE-P are industry standard best-in-class certifications for individuals in supply chain, whether at a functional level or at a leadership level. So when we took a look at the focus of the individual, is that the end of APIX when we train the individual? We realized that if we train them and they don't translate, or the focus is not on company performance or company success, what have we really done? Mm. We really haven't enabled the organization to be successful. And so the focus on outcomes of the organization became a critical part of what we do in enabling the supply chain professional. As you know, being in the supply chain industry and with APIX for the many years that you have, we're traditionally a bottom-up organization. Mm-hmm. We're at a functional level that individuals or leaders see the challenge and then identify a training opportunity for their staff. The business unit succeeds, and then it spreads throughout the company. When we talk about organizational transformation of supply chain, that happens at a top-down level. It does not happen bottom-up. It's the C-suite that identifies the opportunity to transform their supply chain. The question that we had before us is, can and will APIX be a relevant organization to the C-suite? And when we started to evaluate the brand value of APIX, it was much higher at an individual level than it was at an organizational level. So that was first. Secondly, we saw greater opportunity to serve the organization, and not only through transformation through the SCORE framework and the SCORE model, but through research, through benchmarking, through a variety of different focuses on the entity as opposed to just the individual within the supply chain. So the discussion internally with the board and a number of volunteers as well as with companies is, can we reposition APIX? And can we rebrand APIX? And the simple answer was no. APIX has brand value in the marketplace. You right. don't want to lose mm-hmm. that value of that organization.
Yeah. Amen.
So to that end, we recognized an opportunity to serve the corporate marketplace and the industry separately or in addition to the supply chain professional. So in learning and development, APIX will be our lead brand in the marketplace with the certifications and ongoing investment in the content that supports the individuals. Our focus on the corporate entity as well as the industry will come through the Association for Supply Chain Management. So that gives us the dual purpose of the individual as well as the organization and the supply chain.
You get your cake and eat it too. That's what I'm hearing.
I love
it boils
cake.
Down.
I love cake. Especially when it's got icing on it.
Well, and if I can, Abe, you know, Chris and I had the pleasure of being up in Chicago back in October as we you kind of unveiled it to some of the volunteer leaders in the APICS community. And one of the things we walked away with is not only is the commitment to APICS and a lot of the things that provide so much value to the market remain firm, right? But the organization, because we're going broader, because we are doubling down on innovation and transformation and committed to moving the organization as a whole closer to the front lines, if not beyond, of the battle of, you know, driving the supply chain management space forward. That is exciting. You know, that as a member, you know, longtime member, new members, you know, wall of Hall of Fame members as we have it back in our home chapter. Now is such a more exciting time, I think, to be a part of an association like that.
I couldn't agree more. I think when you take a look at the opportunities for supply chain professionals to lead, and now our focus on the organization and recognizing the value of supply chain, what it means to the organization, but more importantly, what are the key performance indicators for the organization? Mm-hmm. Obviously, meeting and exceeding customer expectations. So whether we're talking about a product or a service, the focus of supply chain is to meet customer expectations. So our focus, while on the individual to enable the company to do so, now we can meet the company at their expectation of meeting their customers' needs as well. So we partner with the company, and we're much closer to where supply chain is moving, as opposed to trailing it where we had been in the past by 2 to 3 years. We're now in lockstep with organizations on how they invest in innovation and how they invest in technology within the supply chain to really transform and to really display and share the impact that supply chain has on individuals, on communities, and on the world at large.
Mm. When we went through the rebrand, I think it was 06, and went from, you know, the acronym to the new logos and stuff, and then we acquired the ASTNL, right?
First, our merger was with the Education and Research Foundation, the ENR Foundation. So we identified a charitable and education organization to partner with the membership organization.
Yes.
And then we moved on with Supply Chain Council and brought in the SCORE framework as well as SCORE P and the SCORE mark for benchmark purposes. Then the latest one was with ASTNL,
right?
American Society of Transportation Logistics. Again, to fill in end-to-end supply chain as companies expect it,
right?
Not as we see it from the inside out, but more importantly, what the customer expects.
Right. Voice of the customer.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah. Well, you know, so all of that change, you know, we would get questions from members, longtime members, new members, and all of it turned out really well for the APICS chapter and further to brand, further to value. You know, I always talk about the, you know, back when I first got started, I'd tell people that, you know, here's an APICS meeting or APICS plant tour. What's APICS? And, you know, 2 out of 10 folks, this is way back when, would understand and connect APICS with supply chain. And then through these, what you just described there, there's 3 or 4 big moves that went from 2 to 4 to 6. And then we started getting inbound calls of how can we get plugged in.
Yeah.
So really what while it took us a while to kind of wrap our head around what we learned in October and then through all the announcements and also learning as, you know, chapter volunteer leaders, how to best position and communicate this clearly is probably the biggest thing since we've been members that really transforms who we are in the marketplace and what we can do to help, right?
Yep. No, I couldn't agree more. I think when you take a look at sort of the transformation of supply chain as an industry, there are significant opportunities both at a global as well as at a local level. It still comes down to the individual.
Mm.
Our focus through ASCM, through APICS, or through the, you know, the Education and Research Foundation will still depend on the individual. So we don't get away from that. But more importantly, we can tie what the individual does to the outcomes of the organization and, more importantly, to making a difference in the world.
Mm.
And that's really what our focus is to make a difference in the world through supply chain.
Love it. And one last thing for Chris, I know I keep interjecting here, but I want to make sure, because one of the calls we got and one of the questions we got repeatedly was, well, what happens to APICS? Mm. And you heard it here from the top. You heard it here, you know, initially communicated. And now I might be stealing some of Chris's thunder here, that APICS, the commitment and the dedication and who APICS is and the body of knowledge, all that is stronger than ever before. This just kind of opens up new doors right, and brings more resources and engages more shareholders, right?
Without the 60 years of focus that we've had through our volunteers, through the chapters, through our board of directors, we would not be sitting here today with this opportunity. Mm. It is only through their commitment and their passion about supply chain that we are able to sit here today and make the necessary investments into the future. We truly do stand on the shoulders of giants in the industry that have contributed both at a local level and at a national as well as a global level to make this organization what it is. Our responsibility is to carry that forward, specifically APIX, and it will continue to be a strong part of our organization through our commitment to our partners as well as the certifications.
Mm. So, Abe, let me give a case study on, you know, driving for customer services myself. I was in manufacturing. That's how I first got involved with APIX many years ago. Shifted a little bit into the warehousing and the transportation side. So at that point, I'm looking around. I'm like, I don't really need to know about production planning, forecasting, inventory management anymore. So I kind of got less involved. And then I get reengaged now because we have CLTD. Everything is warehousing now. So I'm very excited about it personally. And I would tell anybody, you know, my colleagues in Atlanta, anywhere else in the world, if you're in warehousing or transportation, you're not involved with APIX, you're missing out.
Yep. No, absolutely. And I think that's one of the key aspects of it. When we took a look at the marketplace, when I joined the organization and being a student of the association industry, not surprisingly, we had multiple associations for every vertical that was in supply chain. Mm-hmm. And as organizations started to see an integrated supply chain as a much more effective method to manage the processes, the associations didn't really keep up with how organizations viewed their supply chains. We were still segmented in the marketplace. So it really was, as you know, we were pointing out before with Scott, is listening to the voice of the customer. The customer was looking for end-to-end solutions. They were not looking for five different relationships with five different companies to train their workforce in supply chain. And so therefore, we need to address what the customer's expectations are, not just necessarily where we grew up and what our core business was in the past. We need to keep up with the expectations of the customers today.
So, Abe, from a customer perspective, or looking at it from a customer's perspective, how will ASCM, you know, serve the end-to-end supply chain management?
And I think that's one of the more significant aspects of ASCM. In the past, we informally had a preference for content that was curated and developed within the organization. So that was consistent with the way that we developed our certifications as well as the content for the supply chain professionals. Obviously, there are other organizations that are curating content. And as organizations look to us and as we endeavor to be a organization that supports the enterprise, it was incumbent upon us to represent and to be able to represent across the enterprise as opposed to within the enterprise or within the functions of supply chain. So one of the significant aspects is our global network of partnerships through global alliance partners as well as education partners that we can now bring a very diverse as well as deep technical as well as management content for individuals to enable them to affect not only supply chain transformation, but to increase their competencies and their attractiveness within the organization. We truly are developing leaders across the enterprise. So when we take a look at the global network with PwC, with Accenture, Deloitte, top-tier consulting companies, as well as other content areas that we believe are necessary for supply chain professionals to be aware of, it now broadens the resource for the supply chain professional, and they don't have to go out and seek out other organizations. We could bring it to the individual through their membership with APIX and, more importantly, through ASCM.
Yeah, I think your message is resonating. You'd mentioned the academic field, Abe, and I'm seeing that, again, as a leader locally, that, you know, for example, another case study, Georgia Tech now offers APIX certification classes through the APIX Atlanta chapter. And that, you know, they're one of the best supply chain programs in the world. Mm. And for them to embrace APIX certifications, I think that says a ton.
That's a really good point. I'm sorry, Scott. I think what you're pointing out is probably a significant aspect for us, and that is the partnership with academic organizations. We've been fairly late to the game. I mean, we had not focused on academic content for a number of years. Now, with the proliferation of the academic programs, I think it behooves us to work with the schools to prepare the individuals as organizations would expect graduates to have threshold competency and threshold capabilities with a supply chain degree. A lot of organizations are using our CPIM Module 1 as a capstone for the baccalaureate program, and within the master's program, they're using CSCP as a capstone.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Yep. That's great. Building it right into their curriculum.
Exactly right.
It's outstanding.
So they come out with an MBA and a CSCP.
Oh, wow. Super.
And we should, of course, give a big high five to Tim Brown, Managing Director of the Georgia Tech Supply Chain and Logistics Institute, big friend of APICS and APICS Atlanta.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're interested in CSCP or CLTD certifications, check out Georgia Tech in Atlanta in June and October.
That's right.
Boot camps.
So Malcolm just gave me a quick note, and Malcolm leads our research team here at Supply Chain Now Radio. He tells me, Abe, that now with this transformation, that ASCM becomes the largest nonprofit for the supply chain management industry in the world.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That would have been prior to ASCM, right. Depending on if you whether you took a look at members, whether you took a look at certifications, whether you took a look at chapters, whether you took a look at our partners or our alliances. Pick your metric. We are the largest association for supply chain in the world. And
wow.
With ASCM and our collaboration now with other organizations, our focus is on bringing the other organizations underneath a single source for our supply chain leaders as well as for the organizations. It does not have to be a monetary aspect for the organization. What we need to do is provide what the customers are looking for, irrespective of where it was curated or developed.
Well, that's exciting. Everybody wants to be number one. No, I'm with number one. I like it.
Been with number one.
You have been, time. Yes.
Have been. I just didn't realize it. Yeah.
Malcolm does a good
job. I'm woke.
So
you had mentioned, Abe, I think earlier about one of the aspects of results or making an impact, I think, is maybe one of the themes of ASCM. Mm-hmm. Is that? Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Absolutely. I think when you take a look at the pillars of the organization, obviously the core for 60 years has been the learning and the development, curating content as well as the certifications for the individual member. When we take a look at organizational transformation, obviously we think of SCORE as well as leading the organization through significant supply chain improvement and innovation for the enterprise. And the last pillar that we have, as you mentioned, is making an impact through supply chain. And whether we're talking about women in supply chain, whether we're talking about STEM programs, as we mentioned a little bit before, or a focus on improving the lives of individuals, customers, and patients, the supply chain and the industry can and should be recognized for the benefit that it derives and that it drives within these communities and for the individuals. Our efforts with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and Frontier Supply Chains is a great example on how we can take our expertise and put it in developing or emerging markets to enable individuals to receive and benefit from effective supply chain practices. Whether we're talking about water or whether we're talking about medicine, supply chain can have a significant impact on improving people's lives, and specifically when we're talking about frontier economies as well as sophisticated economies, whether through distribution and transportation or through getting critical care medicine to individuals.
Going back to something you shared a second ago, women in supply chain, really, really have come to appreciate, as a father of two daughters, and Chris is a father of a daughter as well, the APICS and ASCM commitment to tackling the gender gap. Right? One exists in industry. Any way you cut it, pick your metric, as you say, Abe.
Yep.
Here in Atlanta, or in Atlanta, we're now in Orlando today, but in Atlanta, Elba Priya Gallagher leads our APICS Atlanta Gender Gap Task Force, and really appreciated the APICS or ASCM team adding Elba to the APICS 2018 in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So she was one of numerous women speakers are part of the program. And, you know, one of the challenges we hear a lot about is females and women practitioners need to see that they can achieve the C levels and CEOs and executive chairmanships, and they need that vision.
Yes.
Speak a little bit to that if you could. I know also, and one other quick thought, because I think part of y'all's commitment there and your work there is partnering on the research from
right.
a couple of years ago. So speak a little to that if you would.
We've done two research studies with Deloitte and the Manufacturing Institute specifically on women in supply chain, not only the number of individuals that are in supply chain, but more importantly, what happens in their career progression? What happens after 3, 5, 10 years for the individuals? Fortunately and unfortunately, we've got some good news and some bad news. The good news is we're seeing more women come into the supply chain field. Anytime I go to a university or any supply chain program, I'm seeing as many, if not more, women in the classes taking supply chain programs. A huge change from the past, where predominantly it was engineers and finance individuals that migrated into the field, predominantly men-driven or gender-focused on men or male-driven industries. Now with supply chain, we're seeing many more, a greater diversity. So we're seeing a 50-50 coming into organizations, and some organizations are willing to even pay more to attract women into their organization. So that's a very positive aspect of it. The challenge comes in as tenure increases for the women in the organization. Oftentimes, they're not given the same opportunities that men are given. Work-life balance questions are not addressed within the organization. Additionally, women may not be considered for promotions because there's a belief that they may not move or be willing to take on significant challenges within the organization. Additionally, we need to provide more mentors. We need to provide more role models for women in the industry. So as we're focused on bringing more women in, we've got to move more women into management for organizations so that young aspiring professionals can see that there is a path that they too can be leaders in their organization. Our latest study indicated that less than 27% of management were women in organizations. Irrespective of empirical studies that have indicated that a diverse workforce and management team does outperform one that is not as diverse. So if you want to be successful, if you want to drive your organization, there is proof that attracting more diversity, and specifically gender diversity, in your organization can enable your organization to perform better. We need to find ways to work with organizations to not only create those opportunities, but to have women step up and take those leadership roles as well.
Absolutely. Well said. And Elba would break my neck if I didn't mention her nonprofit, which is dedicated to doing a lot of what you just shared there, showme50.org, based in Atlanta. And, you know, one of the things, and there's so many studies out there, Abe, that you alluded to, but, you know, if you think about entry level, which is really close to 50-50 in terms of folks coming to the field, and then as you get into middle management, as you speak to, that's when the disparity starts to really show itself. And then when you move right up into the C-suite or even the senior leadership suite, that's when it's night and day. It's almost, it can be, according to some studies, single digits.
Now, the pay gap often can be as high as 15-20%.
Wow.
So, Abe, let's take it down a notch or two, maybe a little bit closer to the grassroots here, and talk old school acronyms.
Yeah.
Supply chain operations reference model, which you kind of alluded to earlier, it kind of goes hand in hand with old school APIC stuff. But there's this new thing, SCORE Enterprise Designation.
Yeah.
What's that about?
A wonderful opportunity. So as we've shifted our focus to include organizations as well as the individuals, one of the questions that was always within the organization is, can you evaluate a supply chain for an organization? And if you did, what would it look like? What would you measure a supply chain on? And so we brought a number of subject matter experts, instructors, as well as practitioners, as well as a number of large organizations into our offices. And we went through a facilitated session with them in terms of, how do you evaluate a supply chain? What's critical for you in your organization? And we settled on three dimensions for an organizational supply chain. The first dimension is economic. Obviously, any organization has to be financially stable as well as sustainable for their supply chain to not only address their current demands, but address future demands as well. So that one is fairly standard for most individuals. I think we all understand what a successful financial organization looks like. The second is ecological. And again, I think most individuals would understand that on the sustainability side if it were just on the ecology part. But then when you talk about disruption, when you talk about risk management, we're talking about a developing a sustainable organization, including raw materials, including manufacturing process, including waste, recycling, reusing. All aspects of sustainability is included in the ecological part of our dimension, or the second dimension. The last dimension, and to us, one of the most critical parts of it, is the ethical supply chain. Does the supply chain, is it free from child labor? Is it free from slave labor? Is it free from conflict materials or graft or political influence in the supply chain? These are critical aspects of supply chains. And whether we're talking about first tier, second tier, or third tier vendors, it's incumbent upon organizations to have visibility and transparency throughout their supply chains. It is no longer acceptable to just say, I've evaluated my tier one supplier and they meet all my specifications without truly understanding who supports those suppliers as well. So the three dimensions that we've laid out are independent. You must, at current evaluation, you must achieve a minimum score in each one of the dimensions to be recognized as a SCORE Enterprise designation for the company. Obviously, as we get more data and more organizations complying with it, we'll be able to rate organizations on their supply chain efficacy as well as their certification. So the first part is we'll do it on a binary part. Either you meet the threshold requirements or you don't in each one of the dimensions. And then as we see more organizations come to APIX, then we'll be able to evaluate a relative score for organizations on their supply chain. But this is the first and only designation in the marketplace that evaluates an organization's complete supply chain. It's important to note that there are other certifications already in the marketplace in some of these dimensions. Whether we're talking about fair trade or whether we're talking about non-GMO, there are a number of certifications for specific activities and specific verticals within the supply chain. We want to encourage those. We want to give recognition to organizations that already comply with those, and also encourage other organizations to develop those standards. So whether in the retail industry or whether in the food industry, there are opportunities for associations to increase the visibility and transparency of their supply chains. We want to recognize and encourage that, but we also want to give recognition, and part of their ranking will include, are they complying with industry-specific certifications as well? But we're pretty excited about the SCORE E. It's in beta right now with three organizations. If we are satisfied with the pilot tests, we should go live probably by the second quarter of this year with the commercial SCORE E Enterprise.
And that's interesting. And the three tenets, again, my ears peaked up when you said them, that economic, ecological, and ethical. It sounds a lot like the triple bottom line, which back to the body of knowledge, if you want to know more about that, I'll leave it at there.
Yep.
Check out a CSCP or a CLTD class.
Yep.
So let's look at, I can't have an APIX discussion, Abe, without talking about the three big, the industry best CPIM, CSCP, CLTD certifications. Yeah. What's going on there?
We couldn't be more excited about the feedback that we've gotten on our CPIM reconfiguration from the 5 to the 2 modules, as well as the self-study option that is now included with it. We've attracted a whole host of new members and different types of learners into the community. Obviously, the chapters will continue to be a critical part of our dissemination of our content to the individuals. Nobody has the high touch that the chapters do at a local level. So it's incumbent upon us to arm the chapters and the instructors with the latest content, and more importantly, with the content that organizations and employers are looking for. So we're blessed to have subject matter experts as well as the companies that we work with be able to share with us what their expectations are for supply chain professionals today and in the future. And the expectations are getting higher. They are not diminishing in terms of the knowledge base for the individuals. So our investment in the core certifications in the organization will continue as it has been in the past. We truly believe that certification does differentiate individuals in the marketplace. Our current feedback from organizations is that the quality and the capability of individuals coming out of school isn't exactly where they need it right now, that there is additional training and there are opportunities for additional professional development for these individuals. And so therefore, a certification is a significant part of that identification and really recognition application of that expertise that the individual has. So we'll continue to invest in those as we have in the past, and we see it as a critical part of our organization in the future.
Okay.
So, A, we could talk for 6 hours about a lot of these heavy topics that APICS and ASCM is involved in and helping organizations tackle, but also helping address, you know, you mentioned the water. There was a great social media piece on what supply chain's doing to tackle some of these challenges around the world. I mean, really, there's too much to tackle in an hour. But for folks, talk to our audience about to learn more. I mean, obviously, we can give the website ascm.org,
right.
You know, or apics.org. I think they both
point. They want to direct you to it. Yep.
But how else would you suggest folks, you know, kick the tires and get involved in a lot of what we talked about?
I think there are a number of ways. First, within the company. Find out who the supply chain professionals are or who is leading part of the focus within the organization. That's a critical part of understanding who your not only compatriots are, but who your colleagues in supply chain are within an organization. Secondly, seek out our chapters. There are a whole host of support that the chapters provide at a local level, whether through PDMs or through training programs or on-site programs. There are ways that you can not only get content, but also volunteer, significant opportunities to get engaged in the development of our content in the future. We're always looking for volunteers, both at a local and at a corporate level. And again, stay in touch, not only through our social media, but through a variety of different platforms. The best thing that we can do is continue to talk about the impact that supply chain has on individuals and on lives. We truly are focused on a better world through supply chain, and we believe that supply chain can be a critical difference for individuals and organizations, and more importantly, the supply chain leaders that are embracing not only today's challenge, but tomorrow's challenge will be the ones that will lead supply chain in the future.
Wow. And when you said a PDM, that for folks that may not be plugged in, that essentially it stands for professional development meeting, but oftentimes that's a dinner meeting or a lunch and learn that really targets, offers some best practices from industry, usually a presentation, but also a great networking opportunity for APICS and ASCM members as well as the local supply chain community.
Absolutely. The ability to get together is a critical aspect of any organization, specifically an association. So whether through our chapters or whether through the various conferences, we have the SNLP conference, the best of the best, as well as our annual conference this year, which is in Vegas. There are a host of opportunities to engage with supply chain professionals across town and across the globe. You need to step out. You need to take that first step and to engage with those individuals. You will not find a more passionate group of individuals than supply chain professionals.
So when we talk about get together and kind of bringing it back to where we are here this weekend, this kicks off our conversation with Abe Eshkenazi, CEO of the Association for Supply Chain Management. It is the first of a couple segments we're going to be doing here at the APICS Top 50 Chapter Symposium. Tomorrow, Chris, we've got also a great lineup again at 2 p.m. Eastern time. We've got Brent Ruth with Caterpillar and Joe Shadlowski, consultant, educator, coach, longtime APICS volunteer leader. We're going to be broadcasting live podcast at 2 p.m. as part of that. And we're going to be really talking about the theme is finding your heroes, supply chain talent development in your organization, which, of course, APICS and ASCM does a lot in that area. Great, great segment lined up, and then we're going to finish with one more interview, I think, on Sunday morning. But, Chris, you were going to say something about our exciting trip down to Orlando, right?
No, I was just going to say it's I enjoy being down here. It's if you want to experience excellent customer service, this area is very focused on providing excellent customer service. And I just want to, you know, kind of bring this rocket ship back to Earth a little bit and, you know, say, Abe, thanks. Thanks for sharing with us today and more specifically, your continued leadership in the supply chain profession.
My pleasure, Chris and Scott. Thank you for the opportunity. It's always a wonderful opportunity to talk to not only supply chain professionals, but individuals interested in this field. We truly believe that supply chain does and will make an impact on people's lives. And through ASCM and through APICS, I think we're fortunate to have that opportunity to do so.
Absolutely. To our audience, big thanks for joining us as we have sat down and interviewed a visionary leader in the world of supply chain, Abe Eskenazi, CEO of the Association for Supply Chain Management. Chris, big weekend lined up. Any final thoughts on your end?
Just glad to be starting it off this way. It's exciting.
Absolutely. Big show. Thanks to our audience for joining us. Again, check us out live at 2 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow as we have another great podcast really focused on developing your talent here in the world of supply chain. And with that said, thanks for joining us on Supply Chain Now Radio. For Chris Barnes and Scott Luton, have a wonderful weekend, and we will see you tomorrow.
Thanks for learning.